Glorious name henceforth forevermore. Thank you, Sherry and John. Didn't realize how well that song, that hymn went with this passage until we sang it. Second Chronicles now, chapter 15. Second Chronicles 15. You read with me the story of how this man's sermon, the Lord through that brought a great revival in the land. And how desperately we need a revival in the midst of our year. I need one in these last days, perilous times, a time for a long season now. The true God is not known. Long season. Now, verse 1 says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. That's where revival begins. We sang that, didn't we? So, oh, send thy Spirit, Lord. Spirit of God came upon this man to preach, and without him we can do nothing. All is vain, we sing, unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. That's, brethren, we've met to worship, but it's in vain if the Lord doesn't send His Holy Spirit. God is Spirit, and worship in Spirit, and He must give us of His Spirit. Azariah is a fairly unknown man. I venture to say some of you, if not most, had never heard of him before. Or at least you may have read of him and forgotten it. I have. Not much is said about him. It's a forgotten man. But he was sent by God to preach this one short sermon. Oh, to be used of God. Not only me, but you, when you go out to speak to people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord would use you for just one person? The Lord sent this unknown, forgotten man with one message, and the Lord brought a great revival. His name means Jehovah has helped. Azariah, Jehovah has helped. All right, Azariah was the son of Obed. I don't know if he was a prophet. Seems that he was son of a prophet. What a blessing to be born in the house of a prophet. What a blessing. Not only to be one, but to be born of one. My. He was unknown. He was sent with this message. And his name is not important. As I said, we've forgotten him mostly. Most people have. Don't mention him when they mention the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Malachi. They don't mention him, do they? I don't mention him. But that's not important anyway. The man's name is not important anyway, but the message is. All right. You remember last week, I think it was, an article in our bulletin. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a great voice. And if we're going to hear this, the Lord's going to have to give us the same Spirit. If I'm going to preach it, if the word's going to go out with any liberty, liberty is not dependent on the man. Liberty is not in his ability to convey the message. Liberty, freedom, that is for the word to run well, have free course in the hearts and the minds of the hearers, not dependent on the man's abilities. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who must take the things of Christ and show them unto us. It's the Spirit of God that must arrest our hearts and our minds, the Spirit of God that must blot out everything that would hinder us. So we all need to pray. Lord, send thy Spirit. Grant, O great God, grant us thy Holy Spirit. All right, verse 2. So he went out to meet Asa, the king. He's preaching this message in front of kings and rulers. He was unashamed. He was unafraid. And the Lord said that to the prophets and to the apostles and all. He said, be not afraid of their faces. Go I'm going to send you before kings and rulers. Whoever it is, they need to hear this one message. Whether it be a king or whether it be a pauper, whether it be a doctor or a dishwasher, they all need to hear this one message. What? You've sinned against God. God is holy, but God is merciful. Well, let's go on. So they all need to hear it. And he went out in front of this king, Asa. And he said, "Hear ye, Asa, and all Judah." See that? And Benjamin. These two tribes chosen of the Lord to hear this message. God has a people, a remnant. We just looked at that, didn't we? A remnant. Judah was a remnant. One tribe out of 12. And the Lord chose Judah, didn't he? As a picture, as a type of His electing, sovereign electing grace. He's the remnant according to election. They were chosen to hear this message. Israel didn't hear it. All Israel didn't hear that message. Judah did. Oh, how blessed they were. They wouldn't have heard it if God hadn't chosen them to hear it. And didn't our Lord say that? Blessed are your ears, they hear. Why? Because I have chosen you, He said, to hear this. Most people having ears, they don't hear. But the hearing ear is of the Lord. So He says this, and here's how faith cometh, and here's how it begins. Hearing of the truth. Hear ye, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Hear ye. The Lord, here's the message. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. The Lord is with you. The Lord. Didn't he say in His sign to in Isaiah 7, I give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. The Lord is with you. The Lord is here. The Lord Jesus Christ, Lord over heaven and earth. And He's with you while you be with Him. He's with you. Boy, what good news this is. The Lord is for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? What can be against us? Nothing is against us. It's all for us. It's all for our good. If God be for us, if God loves us. And preachers go out, you know, telling this message to everyone. It doesn't apply to everyone. God loves you. Well, if God does, if God is for you, oh my. If He's for you, if He accepts you, how are we accepted? In the blood. If God is with you, that means He's for you, He accepts you, He watches over you, He smiles upon you, He loves you. The Lord, who is love, loves you and will always love you if He's with you. If He's with you, He has mercy upon you, and His mercy endures forever. If He's with you, He will be gracious unto you. The God of all grace will give you all grace. His love is upon you. His mercy is upon you. His grace is with you. If God be with us, who or what is against us? Nothing. But He says this, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And the word is for Him. Are you before Him? Moses said that. Moses one time drew a line in the sand. And this is how you know. He drew a line in the sand and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Let him come unto me. What does that mean? If you be with Him. If you be for Him. Huh? Well, it means this. It means if you be for His glory. He said, I have created a people, in Isaiah 43, for my glory they are and were created. They shall show forth my glory. That's how you know them. If you're for Him, for His glory, God's for you. If you're for the glory of His Son, for His name's sake, isn't that what Scripture's always said? For His name's sake, not your own name, not your own glory. Not trying to build a church in anyone's name, but Christ's sake. For Him, for His glory, for His name's sake. If you're for Him, He's with you. He's for you. He's with you. If you're with Him in worship, these people we're going to see, they came to Him. Him. They sought Him. They worshiped Him. It was all about Him. They sang unto Him. They worshiped Him. They sought Him. They were looking for Him. They were praising Him. Not one another, not the temple, but Him. That's how you know they were with Him. They were for Him. If you be with Him, with His people in worship, in fellowship, truly our fellowship, John says, with the Father, with His Son. Some went out, he said, because they're not of us. If they'd been of us, they'd no doubt remained with us, doing what? Praising Him. That's what it's all about. God has a people that worship God in spirit. I mean, it's not an outward show. It's not with the lips. No. When the hearts are far from. No, they really do worship God. They're thankful to God. They give all glory to God for who He is, for His sovereign election, for His sovereign mercy, for His sovereign grace and sending Christ. They give all glory to Christ for coming down here and doing this work for them. They worship God in spirit, that is, from the inward man. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. They're ashamed of themselves, and they rejoice in Christ Jesus. And they put no confidence in the flesh. They don't use the flesh. They don't look to the flesh. They don't use the means of the flesh. No, sir. They're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what it means to be with Him for His glory in the true worship of Him and His Son. God sent His Son and said, all the angels of God, let His ministers, let everything that hath breath worship the Son. And God knows He's the searcher of the hearts. He's the searcher of the heart. But the heart men believe. He knows who's worshiping Him. And people say it and all this, but God looks on the heart. He knows. All right, now He said, if you be with Him, that's what that means. Be for Him, for His glory. God is with you. Oh, and if God be with us, who can be against us? Read on. And He says in verse 2, it says, the Lord, if you seek Him, He will be found of you. If you seek Him, He will be found of you. Him in whom all blessings flow. Him who is the source, the spring of all our comfort and all grace. Him who is the Lord our salvation. Him who is everything, who is all in it all. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. How? How did Jeremiah say? When you search for Him with all your heart. With all your heart. But you know, for God's glory, He said in Isaiah 65, didn't He? He said, I am found of them that sought me not. When I said, seek ye my face, that's when they said, like David, thy face did I seek. Well, not until then. See, He gets the glory. If anybody seeks Him, He gets the glory for first seeking them. If anybody loves Him, He gets the glory because He first loved them. But the fact is, He says, if you are with Him, He's with you if you're with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. Recently I told you a good question to ask people that you run into who you want to witness to would be this. And nearly everybody goes somewhere, don't they? They go to a church, so-called, somewhere. And I was confronted recently by a lady, and I wish I'd have asked her this. When you find out they go wherever they go, ask them, why do you go there? Why do you go there? And, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever is really in the heart of a person will come out in their speech. First thing. Won't it? Huh? Yeah, like you ask a person if they're saved. Are you saved? Why? If they're a free will, you know, if they made some kind of decision, they're going to say, because I made my decision. I accepted Jesus. That's what they were saying. All of God's people, without exception, will say this. Because the Lord had mercy on me. Because the Lord revealed Himself to me. People don't know what that means. The Lord revealed Himself to you. Then He came in a vision. They don't know what that means. God's people do. But ask them, why do you go there? And what comes out of their mouth is, because they're... Oh, it's just, I just get a good feeling. Well, you can get that at a ball game. Because the music is... Music? You go there for the music. Well, that's what you'll find. If that's what you're looking for, you can find it. Good music. A lot better than ours. A lot better than ours. A lot more of it. Because of the programs for our children. Because they have good programs. Well, that's good. And the YMCA has good... YMCA has real good programs. Because there's such a warm community of fellowship there. They have all these groups that we can meet. Well, that's what you find. That's what you're looking for. That's what you find. But if you seek Him, if you're looking for the message of Christ, if you're looking to know God, the true and living God, if you want to know Christ, tell me where I can go that I might know God. Can you tell me where I can go that I might hear about God and all His foolishness? Can you tell me where a sinner can go and hear the true gospel and not all this stuff, all this rubbish in the way? A man standing up with the Word of God saying, thus saith the Lord, this is the message. Can you find where I can find that? Then you'll find Him. You'll find Him. And once you found Him, like Hosea said, once you found Him, the nearly last verse in Hosea, he said, I don't want anything more to do with idols. I've heard Him. Him. That's who you're looking for. The Lord one time asked some men that came to Him, said, what seek ye? What are you looking for? Whatever you're looking for, you can find it. And here it says, if you seek Him, He'll be found of you. Oh my. Oh my. My, my. What a glorious promise. Christ said, my sheep will hear my voice. Lost sheep needing the shepherd. And they'll cry, and the shepherd will find them. But, verse 2, if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. If you forsake Him. Oh boy. Hebrews 10 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so much more. Let us exhort one another, he said. So much more as we see the day approaching. Christ's return is very soon. Our crowd is down here, down a little bit this morning. He said to a church over in the Revelation, he said, you strengthen the things that remain. That's a sign of the Lord. And contrary to what many say, a great revival, I see where it says in the Scripture there'll be a falling away. A falling away. And he tells us, don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Tragically, you forsake Him, He forsake you. But exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, what's that mean? It means if we leave the gospel. People don't leave the gospel by accident. People don't just, you know, miss Christ. I used to use that term. Well, he missed Christ. No, people go after something else. They willingly do that. And you know, and I know that if God doesn't make us willing, we will forsake Him. We're kept by the power of God. This is why and how Paul said this, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's what he meant by that. Keep yourselves under the sound of the gospel, which is the love of God. Outside, out from under it, you won't feel loved by God. You'll feel forsaken of Him. If you forsake the assembling of yourselves, if you forsake the gospel, we only have one hope. And if we leave this gospel, He'll forsake us. Oh, man. We need to hear that, don't we? Lord, renew my first love. Lord, put within me, shed abroad in my heart the love of God. That is a love for His Son, love for His Word, love for His fellowship, love for His people. Shed abroad. Give us that, Barnard used to say, sweetheart love. Don't let me lose my first love. Don't let me become lukewarm, lest Thou spewest me out of Thy mouth. Oh, Lord, let me not forsake You, because I don't want to be forsaken of You. And He said, look at verse 3, He said, for a long season Israel's been without the true God, professing Christianity. Has been a long time without the sovereign God preached with any frequency. The God who's to be feared, true God, living God, in whose hands our breath is. You know that men, false preachers, are preaching how God is in our hands. You know that. That's not the true God, is it? For a long time now in America and throughout the land, the true God has been without the true God preached. And without God has not left Himself without a witness. There's here a little, there a little. Without a teaching priest, that is a man who takes the Word of God and teaches it line upon line. Men who preach and teach the Word of God line upon line, the whole counsel of God. Like Samuel, it said of Samuel, he didn't let one word of God fall to the ground. Not one word of God fell to the ground. Whatever God told him, if the people liked it or not, he's going to tell them. But no, religion today, like Jehoiakim, is taking a penknife and cutting it out. And cut it all out. They don't like the King James translation. It's too plain. It's too, talks about a sovereign too much. And they cut all the offense out of it. And they cut all the things that they don't like out of it. Until it's not God's Word at all. It's a perversion. But Paul said, I've kept back nothing profitable in you. He said, I fully preached in Israel and everywhere I've said, repentance toward God. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the message. Repentance toward God. Against Him and Him only have we sinned. Sin? Do you ever hear the word today in modern preaching? Do you? Do you even hear the word sin? Did you read that little quote by Augustus Strong, the man who put together our concordance? That those that lightly speak of sin, preachers and punishment, and it's not even mentioned today. Because if they be without the Word of God, you see, there is no sin. Sin is not imputed where there's no law. So they're not preaching. If this is wrong, that's wrong. They're not preaching that. And that article there, Augustus Strong said, he that preaches lightly of sin and punishment does what Satan does, who said, you're not going to die. Oh, no. So we've been a long time without it, hadn't it? But when they turn, whoever turns to God, verse 4, when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord, what trouble? Sin trouble. And the goodness of God leads us to repentance. What is the goodness of God? In showing us we're sinners. The gospel is good news. To who? Sinners. If God shows us we're sinners, against Him and Him only. Hell deserving sinner. There's no other kind. Mercy beggar. If God shows us we're sinners, it'll turn us to Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. The goodness of God leads us to repentance by putting us in trouble. Trouble with God. Everybody gets in trouble, but He's talking about trouble with God, like the children of Israel. They got in trouble. Four times they're in trouble. Psalm 106, wasn't it? Four times said they got in trouble and they all cried out unto God in their trouble and He heard them. Fools, He said, because of their foolishness, got in trouble. And they cried, oh, we've been fools, and God heard them. It's a good thing to feel your troubled over sin. Read on. He was sought of them. He was found of them. Verse 5. In those times without the true God and without a teaching priest, there was no peace to him that went out and those that came in. Kind of like a revolving door in church houses. People going looking for this and looking for that. Because there's no peace, the Lord said to the wicked. No rest. You're not going to find it. They're going to look here, going to look there, going to go out, going to come in. If someone's looking for Christ, if someone's looking for the truth, they'll find peace. You'll know the truth and it'll set you free. Son sets you free, you're free indeed. You'll find peace. But they'll go in, come out. Great vexations, verse 5, upon all the inhabitants of the country, our country, the world, people in general are under great vexation, aren't they? People are full of all kinds of turmoil and trouble and they don't know what it is. And they're looking here and looking there and trying to find some peace within. And they're going to places with false gods and they don't get any peace there. There's only one source of peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Christ is our peace. Only when you hear him speak peace, the message of reconciliation with God, the message of the blood before the Lord that gives peace to a guilty conscience. Only that. That's the peace that we need. But without it, vexation. Verse 6. Nation destroyed of nation, city of city. Our Lord said you'll hear wars and rumors of war, even amongst those who claim to believe the same God. Like Israel. They both, Israel and Judah, claim to believe the same God. Well, what's wrong? They all must not be believers. Huh? Believers don't war. What's wrong with you? God's angry. That's what's wrong. Look at it. Look at this. Verse 6. God did vex them. God did vex them. God did this. What modern preacher would dare stand up and say all this trouble and turmoil and all this fighting and everything is God doing it? Here's one. There are a few others. God did vex them. Why? Why did God pour out all this trouble on them? Why? All these plagues and all these wars and all this. Why did God vex them? Because of idolatry. That's why. They turned from the living God to idols. That's why. Idols. Well, read on. Read on. Let's look at verse 5. Verse 7. So he says to Asa, here's the trouble with our whole nation. All this vexation, no peace and all that, because they've turned from the living God to idols. And God has vexed them. But those, whenever people of God turned to the God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. So he says in verse 7 to Asa, be ye strong, therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. You know, this is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here. Asa was a good king. Asa went out in the previous chapter and defeated the enemies of the Lord and brought all the spoil to his people, divided amongst them. Asa here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his hands, who is the right hand, the right arm of the Lord, performed this great work. And his work is rewarded. But here in the context, he's talking to a man and his people. He says, strengthen your hand. Let your hands, not your hands be weak, but your work will be rewarded. Strengthen your hands. Our Lord said, strengthen the weak hands and the feeble knees. What is our work? What are we doing here? That's right. Worshiping the Lord. What are we doing here? We do one thing. This church does one thing. The church everywhere does one thing. the work of the Lord is to preach the gospel. That's it. One thing. That's the Lord's work. This is the work of the Lord, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. This is the work of the Lord. He said that in 1 Thessalonians to the church there. He says, know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In Hebrews, he said, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor, your work. The work of the Lord is the preaching of the gospel, is to the praise of the glory of His grace, to glorify Him, to preach Him, that sinners might be converted by that gospel. That's the work. That's the work of the Lord. Strengthen the weak hands. Strengthen the feeble knees, that is, in prayer. But your work is not in vain. Worshiping, preaching the gospel, witnessing of His glory, supporting His gospel, being a witness to those, not in vain. Not in vain. It'll be rewarded. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Simple sermon, wasn't it? Very simple. The Lord's with you. You're with Him. Seek the Lord and be found of Him. Him. If you forsake Him, there's no hope. He'll forsake you. Leave you to yourself. Turn, and He'll be merciful to you. He'll be found of you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. What is the power of His might? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Lift up your weak hand. Feeble knees. Lift it up. Feeble voice, I say. Lift it up with strength. And that's what Paul did and Barnabas. They went out to all the churches, said, confirming and exhorting the disciples to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Confirmed them. That means strengthen them. Well, look at Oasa here. He heard this message. Short, simple message. Well, he heard it. Look at it. It says, Asa heard this, heard these words, prophecy of Oded. He took courage. He took courage. You know, I'll just be honest with you. And I shouldn't be this way, but I am. I am more discouraged than I am encouraged. That's just the way I am. I don't know why. Unbelief, that's why. But I look around and look inside, especially. Look at myself, and I'm just often discouraged, stay discouraged by people, mostly discouraged by myself. And I'm ready to quit. I was talking to someone recently, they were talking about a preacher quitting, and I said, oh, I understand. You don't understand. This person wasn't a preacher. I said, I understand. Don't you, Dad? I understand. Completely. It's more discouragement. It's more discouraging than it is encouraging. Ready to halt. Ready to quit. You know where I get courage? The same place. Keep going back. Get encouragement. Like Elijah. Elijah was discouraged. I'm the only one. I admit. No, Elijah. No. I have 7,000. 7,000. I hear a message. I read God's Word like this. I hear words like this. This is what encourages me. Like in 1 Corinthians 15, it says this. Here's the message that encourages. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Victory over sin, over hell and death, through our Lord Jesus Christ. This thing is, don't have a defeated attitude. It's victory. Oh, my beloved brethren, he says, so be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The gospel, he has a sheep. You know your labor's not in vain. And messages like this, he says in 2 Corinthians 2, we're unto God. Thanks be unto God. It always causes us to triumph in Christ. I stand up and preach. Somebody's going to be blessed by it. God's going to be honored by it. He's promised that. Always causes us. There's going to be two or three gathered in His name. And He makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Paul said, nobody's going to stop me from boasting. I preach Christ. And I do too. I don't preach myself. You won't find my name anywhere. Well, because I preach Christ. And Christ, God said He's going to bless that. And He has, and He does, and He will, and He'll continue to do so until the last sheep is brought in. He says we're a savor unto God, a sweet savor of Christ, and them that are saved. Beautiful feet. Who's sufficient? That's why Paul said, who's sufficient for this? To the one, we're a savor of death. The other, a savor of life. And he says, we're not as many that corrupt the word of God. I don't corrupt the word of God. You don't either. You don't either. We're sincere, sincerely in this for the glory of God. As of God. We wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't of God. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't of God. We don't have any entertainment. You wouldn't be here if you were here for entertainment. You wouldn't stay here if it wasn't of God. See? And he said in that last line of that one verse that I love so much, he said, we preach Christ. We preach Christ. Yes, we do. We trust. We worship Christ here, don't we? And whether if it dwindles down to two or three, that's fine. My heart will break, but it'll still rejoice if I'm in that number. Huh? If he lets me go, I'll go too. And then he gives these, and I won't close. And what happened? And these, after they heard this, they put away the abominable idols. Verse 8, put away the idols at all the land of Judah. I was going to have you turn to First Kings, I believe it is 15, is this story. I think it's that. No, Second Kings 15. But that's the story as told in Second Kings. Same story. And it said that Asa put sodomites out of the land. Put them out. Hezekiah did the same thing. Isn't that appropriate in his day? See, put out. We got to tell it like it is. No one. Now more than ever. In a day when anything and everything goes, we've got to say what is an abomination to God. God calls that an abomination. He put away the abominations. See that? Abominable idols out of the land. And he said that to the Thessalonians. He said, you turn to God from your idols. That's how you know God is with you. That revival has come. You turn to God from idols. You go to hear the true God, living God, from this God who's not God. You can't bear that anymore. It's just an idol. Read on. They renewed the altar. Verse 8. They renewed the altar. What's the altar? Well, it's not some mourner's bench, you know. The altar where you consecrate and dedicate. The first thing you did back in false religion, Dad, was take away that mourner's bench, didn't you? Take that altar, that mourner's bench, out of there. We have an altar. It's a person. The altar he's speaking of here is where the blood was sacrificed. Apparently, they hadn't been offering lambs. Apparently, that altar had been broken down and dust all over it because they hadn't made any sacrifices. Nobody had heard about the blood for a long time. And he said, this is the first thing we want to do. Put down, put away all these abomination, all these idols and everything, and worship God by the blood of the Lamb. Renew the altar. Renew the preaching of the gospel, which is one thing. The church is about one thing. Holding up Christ and then crucified. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you, not to do anything, but Christ and crucified. I knew the altar. Dad preached a message years ago, one of the greatest I've ever heard on recovery of the gospel. Look it up. Recovery of the gospel. I renew the altar. In verse 9, he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, strangers. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He gathers his people together. He's made known His will unto us, John, in that He will gather all His people together to do what? To worship Him around the blood, around the altar of the Lamb. And they fell to Him, in verse 9, of Israel in abundance, that's fell to Christ, fell on their face before Him when they saw what? The Lord's with them. God's people will go wherever they hear the Lord is, where they hear the Lord preach, and that's where Christ is. And they'll see that if God's in Him, God was in Christ reconciling us unto Himself, that's who they'll go to. They'll fall to Him. Verse 10, so they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign. They offered unto the Lord 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep, 777. What's that? A perfect offering, a perfect sacrifice. At, we offer unto God one thing, that is worship of Christ and Him crucified. We plead to God the perfect sacrifice, the perfect work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Not 666, that's the number of man. Man was created on, and if you want a clue, that's what that's talking about. Man was created on the sixth day. 666 has something to do with the religion of man. Okay? All right. Seven is God. Perfect. 700, 7,000. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul. Oh my. And then they said, whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. That's the sense in which our Lord said, except you forsake all that you have, your father, your mother, your son, or your daughter, or anybody, their false religion. What's going to happen is, when a person knows and comes to know the true and living God, they're going to forsake their idols. They're going to come out from among them. Even if you were born in that place where your father and your mother and your grandparents went there, you're going to come out of that place and renounce it as an abomination and idolatry to God. And you're going to come out of there and worship the living and true God. And like Walter, when he went to the mission field to preach the gospel, they said, you must hate your family taking him down there. No, he didn't hate his family. He just loved God. Loved the truth. Willing to forsake all. And that's the same thing. And we're going to tell them. We're going to tell them too, even if they hate us. Dad, Mom, that's an idol. So they swear unto the Lord. They sang unto the Lord. They shouted unto the Lord with a loud voice and shouting and trumpets and cornets. And all Judah rejoiced. Rejoiced in what? The oath, His covenant, His blood. They'd sworn with all their heart. They sought Him with their whole desire. And He was found of them. Look what happened. He was found of them. He was found. God was in their midst. And God gave them rest round about. While the whole world was full of vexation and trouble and trial and turmoil, they had peace. They had rest. Well, Asa was on the throne. Peace. Peace. And you tell me, do you not find more peace when you're under the sound of the gospel than any other time? Give you rest from round about. Look, now you got to see this. The next verse says also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa. That's his grandmother. Absalom's daughter. That's who that is. Absalom's daughter. That Adonijah, I think his name is, married Asa's grandfather. Married this Maacah. That's the daughter of Absalom. And she was a wicked woman. She was a wicked woman. You'll read the story. I have. She's a wicked woman. She set up idols. And she made herself a queen. She made herself a queen, equal to the king. Had her a throne. And she was reigning for a while. You know that? And she made an idol in a grove. You know what Asa did? Granny, you're coming down off your throne. And your religion is idolatrous. And granny, if the Lord doesn't grant you repentance, you're going to perish. You've got to worship the true and the living God. And he cut down her idol. And he snapped at the powder and took her down off her high horse and said, "You ain't nothing. You ain't no queen. You're just a sinner like the rest of us." And apparently, the Lord saved her too. Because it said they were put to death, anybody that didn't. There's some sweet old grannies that the Lord has saved. And, well, they got to be convicted too. Like Virgie. I love the story of Virgie. I love to tell it. How old was Virgie? In her 70s? She was in her 70s. When the Lord, your grandmother was in her 75 years old, like Abraham, wasn't she? That's how old she was? Yes, she was. Martha Lou. Steeped in idolatry. Steeped in religion. Thinking she was something. Queen. Oh, but God. Came with a message, with a true preacher. And preached this God who reigns. And we're all a bunch of sinners in need of mercy and grace. And convict an old granny. A good, sweet, kind. Is it anybody's granny that's not in heaven? Huh? To hear them, you wouldn't think so. If they don't bow to God, they don't turn from their idols to serve the living and true God, they are. Right? They don't come down from being queen and bow their knee to the only king. God, they'll perish. They'll be killed in that day. So they all rejoiced. They all sang. And they all found the Lord and found great peace and rest round about all of them. Just from a man preaching a little short message. See, God, please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's not programs. It's not gimmicks and tricks and tactics and all of that. That's of the devil. That's making proselytes, and they're twofold more the child of hell. Please God by the foolishness of preaching. What? Preaching what? Christ. To save them that believe. He said, "You go, now you preach this message, and I'll call them out. Here a little, there a little, but they're my sheep. And nothing can drive them away. Nothing and no one. And they'll have peace. They will have peace when all the world is full of turmoil. They'll have peace round about, waiting on the Lord." All right, we're going to sing that hymn that goes so well with this. Revive us again. Revive us again. I forgot the number. John. 485, there. 485. Let's stand as we sing a few verses. We praise Thee, O God, for the sound.